Bastania, what lady is the same to whom you swore a secret pilgrimage that you today promised to tell me of?
In Belmont is a lady richly left, and she is fair, and fairer than that word, of wondrous virtues. Sometimes from her eyes I did receive fair speechless messages. Her name is Portia, nothing undervalued to Cato's daughter, Brutus Portia, nor is the wide world ignorant of her worth, for the four winds blow in from every coast renowned suitors, and her sunny locks hang on her temples like a golden fleece, which makes her seat of Belmont culture strand, and many Jasons come in quest of her. Oh, my Antonio, had I but the means to hold a rival place with one of them, I have a mind presages me such thrift that I should question lest be fortunate.
Thou knowest that all my fortunes are at sea. Neither have I money nor commodity to raise a present sum. Therefore, go forth. Try what my credit can in Venice do. That shall be racked even to the uttermost to furnish thee to Belmont to fair Portia.
Melissa, my little body is a-weary of this great world.
You would be, sweet madam, if your miseries were in the same abundance as your good fortunes are. And yet, for aught I see, they are as sick that surfeit with too much as they that starve with nothing.
Good sentences, and well pronounced.
They would be better if well followed.
If to do were as easy as to know what were good to do. Chapels have been churches, and poor men's cottages, princes' palaces. It is a good divine that follows his own instructions. I can easier teach 20 what were good to be done than be one of the 20 to follow mine own teaching. The brain may devise laws for the blood, but a hot temper leaps o'er a cold decree. Such a hair is madness the youth to skip o'er the meshes of good counsel the cripple. Oh, but this reasoning is not in the fashion to choose me a husband. Oh, me, the word choose. I may neither choose whom I would nor refuse whom I dislike. So is the will of a living daughter curbed by the will of a dead father. Is it not hard, Nerissa, that I may neither choose one nor refuse none?
Your father was ever virtuous, and holy men at their death have good inspirations. Therefore the lottery that he have devised in these three chests of gold and silver and lead, whereof who chooses his meaning chooses you, will no doubt never be chosen by any rightly, but one who you shall rightly love. But what warmth is there in your affection towards any of these princely suitors that are already come?
There is not one among them, but I dote on his very absence, and I pray God grant them a fair departure.
Do you not remember, lady, in your father's time, a Venetian, a scholar and a soldier, that came hither in the company of the Marquis of Montferrat?
Yes, yes, it was Bassanio.
As I think he was so called. True, madam. He of all the men that ever my foolish eyes looked upon was the best deserving of fair lady.
I remember him well. And I remember him deserving of thy praise.
Madam!
And now what news?
The four strangers seek for you, madam, to take their leave. And there is a forerunner come from a fifth, the Prince of Morocco, who brings word the Prince's master will be here tonight.
If I could bid the fifth welcome with so good a heart as I can bid the other four farewell, I should be glad of his approach. If he had the condition of a saint and the complexion of a devil, I had rather he should shrive me than wive me. Come, Nerissa. Sirrah, go before. While as we shut the gates upon one wooer, another knocks at the door.
$3,000. Well?
Aye, sir, for 3 months.
For 3 months. Well?
For the which, have I told you, Antonio shall be bound.
Antonio shall become bound. Well?
You state me? Will you pleasure me? Shall I know your answer?
3,000 ducats for 3 months, and Antonio bound.
Your answer to that?
Antonio is a good man.
Have you heard any imputation to the contrary?
Oh, no. My meaning in saying he's a good man is to have you understand me that he is sufficient. Yet his means are in supposition. He hath an argosy bound to Tripolis, another to the Indies. I understand, moreover, upon the Rialto he hath a third at Mexico, a fourth for England, and other ventures he hath squandered abroad. But ships are but boards, sailors but men, there be land rats and water rats, land thieves and water thieves, I mean pirates. And that is the peril of waters, winds, and rocks. The man is notwithstanding sufficient. 3,000 ducats. I think I may take his bond.
Be assured you may.
I will be assured I may. But I may be assured I will bethink me. May I speak with Antonio?
If it please you to dine with us.
Who is he comes here?
This is Signor Antonio.
How like a fawning publican he looks. I hate him for he is a Christian. But more for that in low simplicity he lends out money gratis and brings down the rate of usance here with us in Venice. If I can catch him once upon the hip, I will feed fat the ancient grudge I bear him. He hates our sacred nation, and he rails even there where merchants most do congregate on me, my bargains, and my well-won thrift, which he calls interest. Cursed be my tribe if I forgive him. Rest you fair, good senior. Your worship was the last man in our mouth.
Shylock, albeit I neither lend nor borrow by taking nor by giving of excess, yet to supply the right wants of my friend, I'll break a custom. Is he yet possessed how much she would?
Aye, aye. 3,000 ducats.
And for 3 months?
3,000 ducats. It is a good round sum. 3 months from 12. Now, let me see the rent.
Well, Shylock, shall we be beholding to you?
Signor Antonio, many a time adopting the Rialto, you have rated me about my monies and my usances. Still have I borne it with a patient shrug. For sufferance is the badge of all our tribe. You call me misbeliever, cutthroat dog, and spit upon my Jewish gabardine, and all for use of that which is mine own. Well, then, it now appears you need my help. Go to, then, you come to me, and you say, Shylock, we would have monies. You say so. You that did voyage your room upon my beard, and foot me as you spurn a stranger cur over your threshold. Monies is your suit. What should I say to you? Should I not say, hath a dog money? Is it possible a cur can lend 3,000 ducats? Or shall I bend low? And in a bondman's key, with bated breath and whispering humbleness, say this. Fair sir, you spit on me on Wednesday last. You spurn me such a day. Another time you call me dog. And for these courtesies, I'll lend you thus much money.
I am as like to call thee so again, to spit on thee again, to spurn thee too. If thou wilt lend this money, lend it not as to thy friends. For when did friendship take a breed for barren metal of his friend? But lend it rather to thine enemy, who, if he break, thou mayst with better face exact the penalty.
Why, look you how you storm. I would be friends with you and have your love. Forget the shames that you have stained me with. Supply your present wants and take no doubt of usance for my monies, and you'll not hear me. This is kind I offer.
This were kindness.
This kindness will I show. Go with me to a notary, seal me there your single bond, and in a merry sport, if you repay me not on such a day, in such a place, such sum or sums as are expressed in the condition, let the forfeit be nominated for an equal pound of your fair flesh, to be cut off and taken in what part of your body pleaseth me.
Contented, faith. I'll seal to such a bond and say there is much kindness in the Jew.
You shall not seal to such a bond for me. I'll rather dwell in my necessity.
Why, fear not, man. I will not forfeit it. Within these 2 months, that's a month before this bond expires, I do expect return of thrice 3 times the value of this bond. Yes, Shylock, I will seal under this bond.
Then meet me forthwith at the notary's.
Aye, thee, gentle Jew. The Hebrew will turn Christian. He grows kind.
I like not fair terms and a villain's mind.
Come on. In this there can be no dismay. My ships come home a month before the day.
Go draw aside the curtains and discover the several caskets to this noble prince. Now make your choice.
The first, of gold, who this inscription bears. Who chooseth me shall gain what many men desire. The second, silver, which this promise carries. Who chooseth me shall get as much as he deserves. This third, dull of lead, with warning all as blunt. Who chooseth me must give and hazard all he hath. Pause there. How shall I know if I do choose the right?
The one of them contains my picture, Prince. If you choose that, then I am yours with all.
Deliver me the key. Gold do I choose, and fly by as I may.
There, take it, Prince. And if my form lie there, then I am yours.
have we here? A carrion death, within whose empty eye there is a written scroll. I'll read the writing. All that glisters is not gold. Often have you heard that told. Many a man his life hath sold, but my outside to behold. Portia, adieu. I have too grieved a heart to take a tedious leave. Thus losers part.
A gentle riddance. Draw the curtains, go. Let all of his complexion choose me so.
But Jessica. Why, Jessica, I say.
Call you? What is your will?
I am betrothed to supper, Jessica. There are my keys. But wherefore should I go? I am not meant for love. They flatter me. But yet I'll go in hate to feed upon the prodigal Christian. Jessica, my girl, look to my house. By Jacob's staff, I swear, I have no mind of feasting forth tonight. But I will go.
Farewell. And if my fortune be not crossed, I have a father, you a daughter, lost.
Lorenzo, and thy love. Heaven and thy thoughts are witness that thou art.
Here, catch this carpet. It is worth the pains. I'm glad this man did not look on me, for I'm much ashamed of my exchange. But love is blind, and lovers cannot see the pretty follies of themselves committed. If they could, Cupid himself would blush to see
me
thus transform into a boy.
Descend, for you must be my torchbearer.
I hold a candle to my shades. In a fair good soul, too light. But
in
an office of discovery,
love,
and I should be
with you. So are you, sweet, even in the lovely garnish of a boy. But come at once, for the close night doth play the runaway, and we are stayed for at Bassanio's feast.
I will cross the door and gild myself with some more ducats and be with you straight.
Quick, quick, I pray thee. Draw the curtain straight. The Prince of Aragon hath ta'en his oath and comes to his election presently.
Behold, there stand the caskets, noble prince. If you choose that wherein I am contained, straight shall our nuptial rites be solemnized. But if you fail, without more speech, my lord, you must be gone from hence immediately.
Fortune now to my heart's help. Gold, silver, and base lead. Who chooseth me must gild and hazard all he hath. You shall look fairer than I give or hazard. What says the golden chest? Ah, let me see. Who chooseth me shall gain what many men desire. What many men desire, that many may be meant by the fool multitude that choose by show, not learning more than the fond eye doth teach. Why then to thee, thou silver treasure house, tell me once more what title thou dost bear. Who chooseth me shall get as much as he deserves. I will assume desert. Give me a key for this, and instantly unlock my fortunes here.
Too long a pause for that which you find there.
What's here? The portrait of a blinking idiot? How much unlike art thou to Portia? How much unlike my hopes and my deservings? Who chooseth me shall have as much as he deserves. Did I deserve no more than a fool's head? Is that my prize? Are my deserts no better?
To offend and judge are distinct offices and of opposed nature.
What is here? There be fools alive, I wis, silver doer, and so was this. take what wife you will to bed, I will ever be your head. So begone, you are sped.
Come, draw the curtain, Nerissa.
Where is my lady?
Here. What would my lord?
Madam, there is a light at your gate, a young Venetian, one that comes before to signify the approaching of his lord, from whom he bringeth sensible regrets, to wit, besides commends and courteous breath, gifts of rich value. Yet I have not seen so likely an ambassador of love. A day in April never came so sweet to show how costly summer was at hand, as this forspurrer comes before his lord.
No more, I pray thee. I am half afeard thou wilt say anon, he is some kin to thee. Thou spend such high day wit in praising him. Come, Nerissa, for I long to see quick Cupid's post that comes so mannerly.
Bassanio, Lord love, if I will it be.
How now, Shylock?
What news among the merchants?
You knew. None so well as you, of my daughter's flight.
That's certain. I, for my part, knew the tailor that made the wings she flew withal. But tell us, do you hear whether Antonio have had any loss at sea or no?
There I have another bad match, a bankrupt, a prodigal, who dare scarce show his face on the Rialto, a beggar that was used to come so smug upon the mart. Let him look to his bond. He was wont to call me usurer. Let him look to his bond. He was wont to lend money for a Christian courtesy. Let him look to his bond.
Why, I am sure if he forfeit, thou wilt not take his flesh. What's that good for?
To bait fish withal. If it will feed nothing else, it will feed my revenge. He hath disgraced me and hindered me half a million, laughed at my losses, mocked at my gains, scorned my nation, thwarted my bargains, cooled my friends, heated mine enemies, and what's his reason? I am a Jew. Hath not a Jew eyes? Hath not a Jew hands, organs, dimensions, senses, affections, passions? Fed with the same food, hurt with the same weapons, subject to the same diseases? Healed by the same means, warmed and cooled by the same winter and summer as a Christian is? If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge? If we are like you in the rest, we will resemble you in that. If a Jew wrong a Christian, what is his humility? Revenge. If a Christian wrong a Jew, what should his sufferance be by Christian example? Why, revenge. The villainy you teach me, I will execute, and it shall go hard. But I will better the instruction.
I pray you, tarry. Pause a day or two before you hazard. For in choosing wrong, I lose your company. Therefore, forbear a while.
Let me choose. For as I am, I live upon the rack.
Upon the rack, Bassanio? Then confess what treason there is mingled with your love.
None but that ugly treason of mistrust which makes me fear the enjoying of my love. There may as well be amity and life between snow and fire as treason and my love.
Aye, but I fear you speak upon the rack where men enforced do speak anything.
Promise me life and I'll confess the truth.
Well then, confess and live.
Confess and love had been the very sum of my confession. Oh, happy torment when my torturer doth teach me answers for deliverance. But let me to my fortune and the caskets.
Away, then. I am locked in one of them. If you do love me, you will find me out. Nerissa and the rest, stand all aloof. Let music sound while he doth make his choice. Then if he lose, he makes a swan-like end, fading in music.
Everywhere is fancy bread, for in the heart or in the head, a day of Reply, it is engendered in the eyes of gazing head, and fancy died in the cradle where it lies. Lay the falling fancy bell,
I begin its ding-dong bell,
ding-dong bell.
So may the outward shows be least themselves. The world is still deceived with ornament. In law, what plea so tainted and corrupt, but being seasoned with a gracious voice, obscures the show of evil? Therefore, Thou gaudy gold, hard food for Midas, I will none of thee. Nor none of thee, thou pale and common drudge between man and man. But thou meager lead, which rather threatens than must promise aught, thy plainness moved me more than eloquence. And here choose I. Joy be the consequence.
What find I here? Fair Portia's countenance. What day God hath come so near creation? Here's the scroll, the continent and summary of my fortune. You that choose not by the view, chance as fair and choose as true. Since this fortune falls to you, be content and seek no new. If you be well pleased with this, and hold your fortune to your bliss, turn you where your lady is, and claim her.
You see me, Lord Bassanio, where I stand, such as I am. Though for myself alone I would not be ambitious in my wish, to wish myself much better, yet for you I would be troubled 20 times myself, 1,000 times more fair, 10,000 times more rich. But only to stand high in your account, I might in virtues, beauties, livings, friends, exceed account. But the full sum of me is sum of something which to term in gross is an unlessoned girl, unschooled, unpracticed. Happy in this, she is not yet so old, but she may learn. Happier than this, she is not bred so dull, but she can learn. Happiest of all, is that her gentle spirit commits itself to yours to be directed as from her lord, her governor, her king. Myself and what is mine to you and yours is now converted. But now I was the lord of this fair mansion, master of my servants, queen o'er myself, and even now but now, this house, these servants, and this same myself are yours. My lord, I give them with this ring, which when you part from, lose or give away, let it presage the ruin of your love and be my vantage to exclaim on you.
When this ring parts from this finger, then parts life from hence. Oh, then be bold to say Bassanio's dead.
My lord and lady, it is now our time that have stood by and seen our wishes prosper to cry good joy, my lord and lady.
My lord Bassanio and my gentle lady, I wish you all the joy that you can wish, for I am sure you can wish none from me. And when your honors mean to solemnize the bargain of your faith, I do beseech you, even at that time, I may be married too.
With all my heart, so thou canst get a wife.
I thank your lordship, you have got me one. My eyes, my lord, can look as swift as yours. You saw the mistress, I beheld the maid.
Is this true, Nerissa? Madam, it is. So you stand pleased with all.
And do you, Gratiano, mean good faith?
Yes, faith, my lord.
Our feast shall be much honored in your marriage.
But who comes here? Lorenzo and his Jessica, what, and my old Venetian friend Salerio?
Lorenzo and Salerio, welcome hither. If that the youth of my new interest here have power to bid you welcome. By your leave, I bid my very friends and countrymen, sweet Portia, welcome.
So do I, my lord. They are entirely welcome.
I thank your honor. For my part, my lord, my purpose was not to have seen you here. But meeting with Salerio by the way, he did entreat me past all saying nay to come with him along.
I did, my lord. And I have reason for it. Signor Antonio commends him to you.
Ere I ope his letter, I pray you, tell me how my good friend doth.
Not sick, my lord, unless it be in mind. Nor well, unless in mind. His letter there will show you his estate.
There are some shrewd contents in yon same paper that steals the colour from Bassanio's cheek. Some dear friend dead, else nothing in the world could turn so much the constitution of any constant man. What worse and worse? With leave, Bassanio, I am half yourself, and I must freely have the half of anything that this same paper brings you.
Here is a letter, lady. The paper is the body of my friend, and every word in it a gaping wound issuing lifeblood. But is it true, Hilario? Have all his ventures failed? What, not one hit?
Not one, my lord. Besides, it should appear that if he had the present money to discharge the Jew, he would not take it.
Is it your dear friend that is thus in trouble?
The dearest friend to me, the kindest man, the best conditioned and unwearied spirit in doing courtesies.
What sum owes he the Jew?
For me, 3,000 ducats.
What, no more? Pay him 6,000 and deface the bond. Double 6,000 and then triple that before a friend of this description shall lose a hair for a Bassanio's fault. First, go with me to church and call me wife, and then away to Venice to your friend. For never shall you lie by Portia's side with an unquiet soul. You shall have gold to pay the petty debt 20 times over. When it is paid, bring your true friend along. My maid Nerissa and myself, meanwhile, will live as maids and widows. Come away, for you shall hence upon your wedding day bid your friends welcome, show a merry cheer. Since you are dear bought, I will love you, dear. But let me hear the letter of your friend.
Sweet Bassanio, my ships have all miscarried. My creditors grow cruel, my estate is very low, my bond to the Jew is forfeit, and since in paying it, it is impossible I should live, all debts are cleared between you and I, if I might but see you at my death. Notwithstanding, use your pleasure. If your love do not persuade you to come, let not my letter.
Oh, love, dispatch all business and be gone.
Since I have your good leave to go away, I will make haste. But till I come again, no bed shall e'er be guilty of my stay, nor rest be interposer twixt us twain.
Stefano, as I have ever found thee honest true, so let me find thee still. Take this same letter, and use thou all the endeavor of a man in speed to Padua. See thou render it into my cousin's hand, Dr. Bellario. And look what notes and garments he doth give thee. Bring them, I pray thee, with imagined speed unto the Tranet, to the common ferry which trades to Venice.
Madam,
waste no time in words, but get thee gone. I shall be there before thee.
Madam, I'll go with all convenience, see.
Come on, Nerissa. I have work in hand that you yet know not of. We'll see our husbands before they think of us.
Shall they see us?
They shall, Nerissa, but in such a habit that they shall think we are accomplished with that we lack. I'll lay thee any wager when we are both accoutred like young men. I'll prove the prettier fellow of the two, and wear my dagger with a braver grace, and speak between the change of man and boy with a ringing voice, and turn two mincing steps into a manly stride.
Shall we turn to men?
Aye, what a question's that if thou wert near a lewd interpreter. But come, I'll tell thee all my whole device when we are in my coach, which stays for us at the park gate, and therefore haste away, for we must measure 20 miles today.
What? Is Antonio here?
Ready, so please, your grace.
Go on and call the Jew into the court.
He is ready at the door. He comes, my lord.
Make room, but let him stand before our face. Shylock, the world thinks, and I think so too, that thou bedeed this fashion of thy malice to the last hour of act, and then 'tis thought thou'lt show thy mercy and remorse more strange than is thy strange apparent cruelty. We all expect a gentle answer, Jew.
I have possessed your grace of what I purpose. By our holy Sabbath have I sworn to have the due and forfeit of my bond. If you deny it, let the danger light upon your charter and your city's freedom. You'll ask me why I rather choose to have a weight of carrion flesh than to receive 3,000 ducats. I'll not answer that, but say it is my humor. Is it answered? What if my house be troubled with a rat, and I be pleased to give 10,000 ducats to have it baled? What? Are you answered yet? Some men there are love not a gaping pig. Some that are mad if they behold a cat. and others, when the bagpipes sing to the nose, can it contain their urine? For affection, martyr of passion, sways it to the mood of what it likes or loathes. Now, for your answer. As there is no firm reason to be rendered, why he cannot abide a gaping pig, why he a harmless, necessary cat, why he a woollen bagpipe, but a force must shield such inevitable shame as to offend, being himself offended, so can I give no reason, nor I will not. More than a lodged hate and a certain loathing I bear Antonio, that I follow thus a losing suit against him. I answered.
This is no answer, thou unfeeling man, to excuse the current of thy cruelty.
I am not bound to please thee with my answers.
Do all men kill the things they do not love?
Hates any man the thing he would not kill?
Every offense is not a hate at first.
What? Wouldst thou have a serpent sting thee twice?
I pray you think you question with a Jew. You may as well go stand upon the beach and bid the main flood bait his usual height. Let me have judgment, and the Jew his will.
For thy 3,000 ducats, here is 6.
If every ducat in 6,000 ducats were in 6 parts, and every part a ducat, I would not draw them. I would have my bond.
How shalt thou hope for mercy, rendering none?
What judgment shall I dread, doing no wrong? You have among you many a purchased slave, which, like your asses and your dogs and mules, you use in abject and in slavish parts because you bought them. Shall I say to you, let them be free, marry them to your heirs? Why sweat they under burdens? Let their beds be made as soft as yours, let their palates be seasoned with such viands. You will answer, the slaves are ours. So do I answer you. Pound of flesh which I demand of him is dearly bought. 'Tis mine, and I will have it. If you deny me, fie upon your law. There is no force in the decrees of Venice. I stand for judgment. Answer. Shall I have it?
Upon my power, I may dismiss this court, unless Bellario, a learned doctor, whom I have sent for to determine this, come here today.
My lord, here stays without a messenger with letters from the doctor, new come from Padua.
Bring us the letters. Call the messenger.
The Jew shall have my flesh, blood, bones, and all, ere thou shalt lose for me one drop of blood.
Came you from Padua, from Bellario?
From both, my lord. Bellario greets your grace.
This letter from Bellario doth commend a young and learned doctor to our court. And here, I take it, is the doctor come. Give me your hand. Came you from old Bellario?
I did, my lord.
You are welcome. Take your place. Are you acquainted with the difference that holds this present question in the court?
I am informed truly of the cause. Which is the merchant here, and which the Jew?
Antonio and old Shylock both stand forth.
Is your name Shylock?
Shylock is my name.
Of a strange nature is the suit you follow. Yet in such rule that the Venetian law cannot impugn you as you do proceed. You stand within his danger, do you not?
Aye, so he says.
Do you confess the bond? Then must the Jew be merciful.
On what compulsion must I? Tell me that.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest God's, when mercy seasons justice. Therefore, Jew, though justice be thy plea, consider this, that in the course of justice, none of us should see salvation. We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. I have spoke thus much to mitigate the justice of thy plea, which if thou follow, this strict court of Venice must needs give sentence against the merchant here.
My deeds upon my head. I crave the law, the penalty and forfeit of my bond.
Is he not able to discharge the money?
Yes, here I tender it for him in the court. Yea, twice the sum. If that will not suffice, I will be bound to pay it 10 times o'er on forfeit of my hands, my head, my heart. And I beseech you, rest once the law to your authority. To do a great right, do a little wrong, and curb this cruel devil of his will.
It must not be. There is no power in Venice can alter a decree establish it. It will be recorded for a precedent, and many an error by the same example will rush into the state. It cannot be.
A Daniel come to judgment. Yea, a Daniel. Oh, wise young judge, how I do honor thee.
I pray you, let me look upon the bond.
Here it is, most reverend doctor. Here it is.
Shall I look? There's thrice thy money offered thee.
An oath. An oath. I have an oath in heaven. Shall I lay perjury upon my soul? No, not for Venice.
Why? This bond is forfeit. And lawfully by this the Jew may claim a pound of flesh to be by him cut off nearest the merchant's heart. Be merciful. Take thrice thy money. Bid me tear the bond.
When it is paid according to the tenor, it doth appear you are a worthy judge. You know the law. Your exposition hath been most sound. I charge you by the law, whereof you are a well-deserving pillar, proceed to judgment. By my soul I swear, there is no power in the tongue of man to alter me. I stay here on my bond.
Most heartily I do beseech the court to give the judgment.
Why then, thus it is. You must prepare your bosom for his knife.
Oh, noble judge. Oh, excellent young man.
For the intent and purpose of the law have full relation to the penalty which here appeareth due upon the bond.
It is very true. Oh, wise and upright judge. How much more elder art thou than thy looks?
Therefore, lay bare your bosom.
Aye, his breast. So says the bond, doth it not, noble judge? Nearest his heart. Those are the very words.
It is so. Are there balance here to weigh the flesh?
I have them ready.
Have thy son surgeon, Shylock, on your charge, to stop his wounds lest he do bleed to death.
Is it so denominated in the bond?
It is not so expressed. But what of that? For good you do so much for charity.
I cannot find it. It is not in the bond.
You merchant, have you anything to say?
But little. I am armed and well prepared. Give me your hand, Bassanio. Bear you well. Grieve not that I am fallen to this for you. Commend me to your honorable wife. Tell her the process of Antonio's end. Say how I loved you. Speaking it fair, Linda.
Antonio, I am married to a wife which is as dear to me as life itself. But life itself, my wife, and all the world are not with me esteemed above thy life. I would lose all. I sacrifice them all here to this devil to deliver you.
Your wife would give you little thanks for that if she were by to hear you make the offer.
We trifle time. I pray thee pursue sentence.
A pound of that same merchant's flesh is thine. The court awards it, and the law doth give it.
Most rightful judge.
And you must cut this flesh from off his breast. The law allows it, and the court awards it.
Most learned judge. A sentence. Come, prepare.
Tarry a little. That is something else. This bond doth give thee here no jot of blood. The words expressly are a pound of flesh. Take then thy bond. Take thou thy pound of flesh, but in the cutting it, if thou dost shed one drop of Christian blood, thy lands and goods are, by the laws of Venice, confiscate unto the state of Venice.
Go, upright judge, marked you, old learned judge.
Is that the law?
Thyself shalt see the act, for as thou urgest justice, be assured thou shalt have justice, more than thou desirest.
I take this offer. Pay the bond thrice, and let the Christian go.
Here is the money.
Soft. But you shall have all justice. Soft, no haste. He shall have nothing but the penalty.
Oh, true, an upright judge, a learned
Therefore
judge.
Prepare thee to cut off the flesh. Shed thou no blood, nor cut thou less nor more, but just a pound of flesh. If thou takes more or less than a just pound, be it but so much as makes it light or heavy in the substance,
or the division of the 20th part of one for a scruple? Nay, if the scale do turn but in the estimation of a hair, thou diest, and all thy goods are confiscated.
A second Daniel, a Daniel Jew. Now, infidel, I have you on the hip.
Why doth the Jew pause? Take thy forfeiture.
Give me my principal. Let me go.
I have it ready for him. Here it is.
He hath refused it in the open court. He shall have merely justice and his bond.
A Daniel still, I say, a second Daniel. I thank thee, Jew, for teaching me that word.
Shall I not have bail in my principal?
Thou should have nothing but the forfeiture to be so taken at thy peril, Jew.
Why then the devil give him good of it? I'll stay no longer Christian.
Carry, Jew. The law hath yet another hold on you. It is enacted in the laws of Venice. If it be proved against an alien that by direct or indirect attempts he seek the life of any citizen, the party against the which he doth contrive shall seize one half his goods, the other half comes to the privy coffer of the state, and the offender's life lies in the mercy of the Duke only, against all other voice, in which predicament, I say, thou standst. For it appears by manifest proceeding that indirectly, and directly too, thou hast contrived against the very life of the defendant, and thou hast incurred the danger formerly by me rehearsed. Down, therefore, and beg mercy of the Duke.
That thou shalt see the difference of our spirit, I pardon thee thy life before thou ask it. For half thy wealth, it is Antonio's. The other half comes to the general state, which humbleness may drive into a fine.
Aye, for the state, not for Antonio.
Nay, take my life and all. Pardon not that. You take my house, and you do take the profit that sustain my house. You take my life, when you do take the means whereby I live.
What mercy can you render him, Antonio?
So please, my lord, the Duke and all the court, to quit the fine for one half of his goods I am content. So he will let me have the other half in use to render it upon his death unto the gentleman that lately stole his daughter. Two things provided more, that for this favor he presently become a Christian. The other, that he do record a gift here in the court of all he dies possessed unto his son Lorenzo and his daughter.
He shall do this, or else I do decant the pardon that I late pronounced here.
Art thou contented, Jew? What dost thou say?
I am content.
Clerk, draw a deed of gift.
I pray you give me leave to go from hence. I am not well. Send the deed after me, and I will sign it.
Don't be gone, but do it. Sir, I entreat you, home with me to dinner.
I humbly do desire your grace of pardon. I must away this night toward Padua, and it is meet I presently set forth.
I am sorry that your leisure serves you not.
Most worthy gentlemen, I and my friend have by your wisdom been this day acquitted of grievous penalties. In lieu whereof, 3,000 ducats due unto the Jew, we freely cope your courteous pains withal.
And stand indebted over and above in love and service to you evermore.
He is well paid that is well satisfied, and I delivering you am satisfied, and therein do account myself well paid. My mind was never yet more mercenary. I pray you, know me when we meet again. I wish you well, and so I take my leave.
Dear sir, of course I must attempt you further. Take some remembrance of us as a tribute, not as fee. Grant me two things, I pray you, not to deny me and to pardon me.
You press me far, and therefore I will yield. Give me your gloves. I wear them for your sake. And for your love, I'll take this ring from you. Do not draw back your hand. I'll take no more. And you in love shall not deny me this.
This ring, good sir? Oh, alas, it is a trifle. I will not shame myself to give you this.
I will have nothing else but only this. And now methinks I have a mind to it.
There's more depends on this than on the value. The dearest ring in Venice will I give you, and find it out by proclamation. Only for this, I pray your pardon.
I see, sir, you are liberal in offers. You taught me first to beg, and now methinks you teach me how a beggar should be answered.
Good sir, this ring was given me by my wife, and when she put it on, she made me vow that I should neither sell nor give nor lose it.
That skill serves many men to keep their gifts. And if your wife be not a mad woman, and know how well I have deserved the ring, She would not hold out enemy forever for giving it to me. Well, peace be with you.
My Lord Bassanio, let him have the ring. Let his deservings and my love with all be valued against your wife's commandment.
Go, Gratiano, run over to him. Give him the ring, and bring him if thou canst unto Antonio's house. Away, make haste!
Come, you and I will thither presently, and in the morning early we'll be both fly toward Belmont.
Come, Antonio.
Mounted the Trojan walls and sighed his soul toward the Grecian tents where Cressid lay that night.
In such a night did Thisbe fearfully o'ertrip the dew and saw the lion's shadow ere himself and ran dismayed away.
In such a night stood Dido with a willow in her hand upon the wild sea banks and waft her love to come again to come.
In such a night Medea gathered the enchanted herbs that did renew Orison.
In such a night did Jessica steal from the wealthy Jew, and with an unthrift love did run from Venice as far as Belmont.
In such a night did young Lorenzo swear he loved her well, stealing her soul with many vows of faith and ne'er a true one.
Oh, in such a night did pretty Jessica, like a little shrew, slander her love, and he forgave it her.
I would I'd knight you did nobody come, but hark, I hear the footing of a man.
Who comes so fast in silence of the night? A friend?
A friend? What friend? Your name, I pray you, friend.
Stefano is my name, and I bring word my mistress will before the break of day be here at Belmont. She doth stray about by holy crosses where she kneels and prays for happy wedlock.
Who comes with her?
Oh, none but a holy Herbie to her maid.
Sweet sir, let's
see
and there stay there. Yes, ma'am. Why should we go in? My friend Stefano, signify, I pray you, within the house your mistress is at hand, and bring your music forth into the air. How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon this bank.
Here will we sit, and let the sounds of music creep in our ears. Soft stillness and the night become the touches of sweet harmony. Sit, Jessica. How the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with patterns of bright gold. There's not the smallest orb which thou beholdst, but in his motion like an angel sings, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubims. Such harmony is in immortal souls. But whilst this muddy vesture of decay doth grossly close it in, we cannot hear it.
Come, ho, and wake Diana with a hymn. With sweetest touches, pierce your mistress' ear, and draw her home with music.
That light we see is burning in my hall. How far that little candle throws its beams. So shines a good deed in a naughty world.
When the moon shone, we did not see the candle.
So doth the greater glory dim the less. A substitute shines brightly as a king, until a king be by. And then his state empties itself as doth an inland brook into the main of waters. Music. Hark.
It is your music, madam, of the house.
Nothing is good, I see, without respect. He thinks it sounds much sweeter than by day.
Silence bestows that virtue on it, madam.
The crow doth sing as sweetly as the lark when neither is attended. And I think the nightingale, if she should sing by day when every goose is cackling, would be thought no better a musician than the wren. How many things, by season, seasoned are to their right praise and true perfection. Peace, ho. The moon sleeps with Endymion and would not be awake.
That is the voice I am much deceived of Portia.
He knows me as the blind man knows the cuckoo by the bad voice.
Dear lady, welcome home.
We have been praying for our husband's health, which speed we hope the better for our words. Are they returned?
Madam, they are not yet, but there has come a messenger before to signify their coming.
Go in, Nerissa. Give order to my servants that they take no note at all of our being absent hence, nor you, Lorenzo. Jessica nor you.
Your husband is at hand. I hear his trumpet. We are no telltales, madam. Fear you not.
You are welcome home, my lord.
I thank you, madam. Give welcome to my friend. This is the man. This is Antonio, to whom I am so infinitely bound.
Sir, you are very welcome to our house.
By yonder moon, I swear you do me wrong. In faith, I gave it to the judge's clerk.
What quarrel, her already? What's the matter?
About a hoop of gold, a paltry ring that she did give me.
You swore to me when I did give it you that you would wear it till your hour of death, and that it would lie with you in your grave. Gave it a judge's clerk. No, God's my judge, the clerk will ne'er wear hair on his face that had it.
Now, by this hand, I gave it to a youth, a kind of boy, a little scrubbed boy, no higher than myself, the judge's clerk, a prating boy that begged it as a fee. I could not for my heart deny it him.
You were to blame. I must be plain with you. To part so slightly with your wife's first gift, a thing stuck on with oaths upon your finger and riveted with faith unto your flesh. I gave my love a ring and made him swear never to part with it, and here he stands. I dare be sworn for him he would not leave it, nor pluck it from his finger for the wealth of the world, masters. Now, in faith, Gratiano, you give your wife too unkind cause of grief. And fair to me, I should be mad at it.
I were best to cut my left hand off and swear I lost the ring defending it.
My lord Bassanio gave his ring away unto the judge that begged it, and indeed deserved it too. And then the boy, his clerk, that took some pains in writing, he begged mine, and neither man nor master would take aught but the two rings.
What ring gave you, my lord? Not that I hope which you received of me.
If I could add a lie unto a fault, I would deny it. But you see, my finger hath not the ring upon it. It is gone.
Even so, void is your false heart of truth. By heaven, I will ne'er come in your bed until I see the ring.
Nor I in yours till I again see mine.
I am the unhappy subject of these quarrels.
Sir, grieve not you. You are welcome notwithstanding.
I once did lend my body for his wealth, which but for him that had your husband's ring had quite miscarried. I dare be bound again, my soul upon the forfeit, that your lord will never more break faith advisedly.
Then you shall be his surety. Give him this, and bid him keep it better than the other.
Here, Lord Bassanio, swear to keep this ring.
By heaven, it is the same I gave the doctor.
I had it of him. Pardon me, Bassanio. For by this ring, the doctor lay with me.
And pardon me, my gentle Gratiano, for that same scrubbed boy, the doctor's clerk, in lieu of this last night, did lie with me.
Why, this is like the mending of highways in summer, where the ways are fair enough. After we cuckolds there, we have deserved it.
Speak not so grossly. You are all amazed. Here is a letter. Read it at your leisure. It comes from Padua, from Bellario. There you shall find that Portia was the doctor. Nerissa there, her clerk. Lorenzo here to witness we set forth as soon as you, and even but now returned. I have not yet entered my house. Antonio, you are welcome. And I have better news in store for you than you expect. Unseal this letter soon. There you shall find three of your Argus's are richly come to harbour suddenly. You shall not know by what strange accident I chanced on this letter.
I am dumb. Were you the doctor, and I knew you not?
Were you the clerk that is to make me cuckold?
Aye, but the clerk that never means to do it, unless he live a pretty dear man.
Sweet doctor, you shall be my bedfellow. When I am absent, then lie with my wife.
Sweet lady, you have given me life and living, for here I read for certain that my ships are safely come to road.
Ah, now, Lorenzo, my clerk has some good comforts too for you.
Aye, and I'll give them him without a fee. There do I give to you and Jessica from the rich Jew a special deed of gift after his death of all he dies possessed of.
Fair ladies, you drop manner in the way of starving people.
It is almost morning. And yet I am sure you are not satisfied of these events at full. Let us go in and charge us thereupon in purgatory, and we will answer all things faithfulness.